You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, Dog Pound. Get the most trusted Browns news straight from the team to your phone, including insider videos, photos, player news, including the Browns 2015 rookie class and offseason team workouts. Download the official Browns mobile app for Apple and Android now and stay up to date on your team. And speaking of ClevelandBrowns.com, hats off to Andrew Gribble and Kevin Jones, who turned in an unbelievable weekend of work covering the draft, detailed player profiles on all the guys the Browns drafted. And we want to hear what you think of the Browns draft, 216-578-0850. My consensus is there are people who absolutely love the Browns draft. They think it was solid. There are people who then think that it was good but could have been better had they gotten that big-time wide receiver.
And then there's people that just hold grudges against the Browns and choose to poke fun at them no matter what.
Yeah.
And again, you battled one such person
on Twitter. Again, you look at the analysts that you've listed off, and these are guys that do this as a profession. Evaluate draft prospects. Evaluate draft classes. And it was a consensus B overall. So they know a little something. And also, too, as we, you know, the PNC Bank Browns Radio Network, we had Doug Deacon. He's like, well, I'm not really into one of those guys that drafts, you know, that gives a grade to a draft class a day after it's over. The public asks for those grades so soon. But again, as Mike Pettin said in a draft preview show, we'll see how it looks in 3 years.
We will. Let's go now to the phone lines, 216-578-0850, for your thoughts on what the Browns did in the 2015 NFL Draft, bringing in 12 players. And you know Ray Farmer's good with the undrafted free agents. So, I mean, there are probably going to be a handful of those guys that have a serious shot at competing. If you're a veteran on the Browns right now and you were in, what, 30 to 53 on this roster?
Yes.
35 to 53.
You're like, I got to bring it.
You're working out hard today.
Yes, you are. You're working out hard today. You're early for meetings. You're asking a lot of questions to make sure that everything gets clarified so that you can, so when your foot you step on that practice field, it's fine-tuned and within the parameters of what they're asking you to do.
And if you're one of those guys that's close to 53, you're calling up your agent and saying, work the phones.
You absolutely are. And also, too, for those veterans who know they're in that situation and has an agent who's potentially working the phones, hopefully by training camp, coming out of OTAs, they, too, will understand exactly where they sit in a depth chart and on this roster, and they may actually ask to be released. You'd rather get released at the end of OTAs as opposed to going to camp, getting released by camp, and being one of the hundreds of players that are going to be released at the same time trying to catch on in that 1 week period.
So one thing that was tough, though, I thought the AFC North as a whole had a very good draft. Steelers, Ravens, Bengals all getting national acclaim for their picks as well. So it was just, again, it's a tough division and you're going to have to be smart. And the Browns, I think, were smart and hopefully they can get it done. I did not like the fact that Bud Dupree, a guy we had talked about, ended up with the Steelers. Max Williams, a guy we had talked about, ended
Rashad
up with
Perriman,
the Ravens.
With Rashad
Perriman. Sammy Coates ended up with the Steelers. And then the one that we talked about, that linebacker, Dawson.
Yeah.
Bangle. Very, very talented player, but had some off-field issues, fell, and he goes to the Bengals. Well, he could be the next Vontaze Burfict, who slid because of, you know, off-field issues, et cetera.
You know what? You can't worry about what someone else is doing. You can only take care of your own yard. And those teams always draft well. That's, you know, historically, Ozzie's done a great job in Baltimore. The Steelers are the Steelers, and even Cincinnati in recent years has done a nice job. I think that they, you know, their draft was more for next year. They drafted two offensive linemen because they have tackles coming up on contracts. So I thought that they were a little bit behind the other teams, but you can't expect anything else from the Steelers or the Ravens except a solid draft. But now, I think when they look at the Browns, they have to start expecting the same thing out of the Browns, which over time will level the playing field.
216-578-0850. Let's go to Hiram in Cleveland. Hiram, welcome to the show, man.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good, man.
How you doing?
Hey. I had a question for Matt, but I just wanted to give you, I love the draft. Up until yesterday, my favorite pick was Nate Orchard. But after watching Duke Johnson, that's my favorite pick right there.
Yeah.
All right, good.
My question for Matt. Matt, I was thinking about this ever since they took Danny Shelton. It's about the defense. This is what I would do, and tell me if I'm crazy. I would start, because offenses always try to establish the running game at the beginning of a game. I would start Phil Taylor and Danny Shelton at the same time. That would tell them, look, you have no shot at running inside. Because you need two, for each player, you need two offensive linemen to block those guys. So So then I'm going to tell my linebackers, my outside linebackers, look, you can't get out flanked and let them get on the outside because that'd kill us. And you essentially are telling them you're only going to be one-dimensional. You can only throw against us because you can't run inside and you can't run outside. And the only thing that you can do is throw. And then when you do throw, I'm going to unleash my pass rush and my secondary on you. Tell me if I'm crazy by thinking like that.
Hiram, you're not crazy, and thank you very much for the call. And he's right to a certain extent, and I promise you, Jim O'Neill will have a package that teams up Shelton Taylor, Shelton Kitchen, but it's going to be a package. And that's part of the chess match that is preparing to play another team. You know, you got to analyze what down and distance, what point on the field, what personnel is in the game, are they going to run the ball? And then you bring in your personnel to stop the run, play the run. And I'm just going to say, even though Danny Shelton's probably got the highest motor of Kitchen and Taylor, even at this point as a rookie in the National Football League, that's just a lot of beef that if they don't run the ball, you know, you can get out on an edge and it's easy and you're going to get no pass rush. So then your very good secondary are all going to be left on an island, which they're prepared for. But it's going to be the happy medium. It's going to be the chess match. It always is. And I think Jim O'Neill, as I've said since I started watching this football team very intently last football season, they roll through a ton of packages, a lot of different personnel, and having a deep defensive line allows them to play a lot of guys and keep them fresh.
Yeah, and a great secondary is fine, but a great secondary still is only as good as the pass rush. This is the NFL. Guys are going to get open if they have 5 or 6 seconds to do so.
No question.
And that's why I was encouraged to hear Nate Orchard. Nate, my job is to get to the quarterback. His first three questions all came back to the fact it's alter the passing game, get to the quarterback, sack the quarterback, get him to the ground. And that's what you want to hear, especially when you got Flacco, Roethlisberger, and Dalton, you know, three pinnacle pieces of those organizations, you know, beating the Browns for so long. So they finally get a guy that says, I wouldn't have a problem with Nate Orchard say, you know what? I'm going to learn how to play the run, but the one thing I know really well is how to get to the quarterback.
Get to the quarterback.
And Jim O'Neill will fit him into a system, into a package that focuses simply on allowing him to do the one thing that he does best.
Now, are there packages where two outside linebackers are both coming?
Yeah, of course.
Because, I mean, with Orchard, I think that's what you
meet in the quarterback, run into each other.
Him and Kruger race to the quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go to Scott on a cell. Scott, welcome to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Hey guys, love it. So it's like sitting in the fraternity house, takes me back to old days. And I love some bonus the kid on a Monday.
It's always good. Yeah, we had to bring the kid in to let everybody know what's going on.
So I'm loving the draft. I have a couple of thoughts. I'd like to hear what you guys think. So one on kind of Nate Orchard and Bud Dupree, which would be if you kind of watch the highlights, it's easy to get sucked into Bud Dupree's size and measurables.
Yep.
But if you watch just even his YouTube highlights, he gets sucked into a lot of trash and just kind of gives up on a lot of plays. And I think the relentlessness of Orchard more than makes up for that. So I think he's got a, you know, higher floor. He might not have as high of a ceiling, but I definitely think he'll be more consistent. So I love that pick. On Cameron Irving, I just think that's a lot like Alex Mack, where, you know, even Cam Irving has a little bit more name value than Alex Mack when we took him out of Cal. But that's a guy that we'll look back in 7 years and no one will have any regrets picking that guy.
Agreed.
And then my one thought on Danny Shelton, again, I love the Danny Shelton pick and want to give him every benefit of the doubt, but wanted to hear your guys' thoughts on this thought, which is he seemed awfully happy, like this was kind of the pinnacle of the race, just getting to the NFL and playing at Washington where, it's, you know, there's not a ton of studs and stud linemen that have come out of there. My one concern with Danny, and I really hope that it's not the case, is that right now he kind of sees getting to the NFL is the top of the mountain, whereas a lot of the guys who I think are the super blue chips, they get drafted and they say that's the start of the journey or that's when the work starts. I just hope Danny has kind of the will and the drive to understand that this is the start of the journey, not the end.
Well, I'll tell you this. When we talked to him immediately after being drafted, Danny Shelton said, I asked what he would bring to the table, and he said physicality, work ethic, and the desire to be great. So I don't think that he's a guy. He's been through a lot. The loss of his brother 4 years ago, he's been through a lot to get where he is, and I think he is hungry to be good at this level.
He is, and that's exactly what I was going to say. Just And the great thing about
it is,
I
didn't get that feeling at all.
Those are the same comments we heard from both Cam Irving and Danny Shelton. And if you read through the transcripts or listen to the Browns Radio Network, you heard it from all the guys. I just want to get in and work. I just want the opportunity. I just want, you know, to get ready to learn the system and prove my value regardless of where they were drafted.
So this is my second draft for the Browns, interviewing the guys right after they were drafted. Johnny was his own entity because of just the media hype with him. But I can tell you that the words and the tone of what came out of both Danny Shelton and Cam Irving, I would term substance, work ethic, desire to be better, humble, ready to come in. Justin Gilbert, when I talked to him, I remember being like, this guy thinks he is the greatest. And he was talking all about how he was going to show off. And I don't think he understood what it was going to take. And I think that he's been humbled by year one, and I think he's going to come back with a different focus. But one of the things that the Browns clearly went out of their way to do in this draft was get guys who had shown that they could stay healthy, shown they could be productive in the power conferences, who were captains of their team or academic All-Americans, guys who loved football and wanted to work for this team and work hard. And I think that is exactly what they got in this draft class, and that's what we're all excited about. When we come back, we'll get back on the phones. We got Tony in North Ridgeville waiting for us, and many more of you. 216-578-0850. Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Skura Wilhelm, bonus kid.